And the court will proceed to the third case of the day, Bio versus Federal Express. Mr. Clark?
May it please the court, my name is Timothy Clark. I'm counsel for the appellant, Mammon Bio, in this matter. The June 2004 district court decision was clearly erroneous in granting summary judgment to the defendant below Federal Express, because the management at the Federal Express facility in Indianapolis, Indiana, itself considered Mr. Bio's comparator, Ken Skoda, a fellow employee on the night shift at that facility, comparable to Mr. Bio with regard to discipline, and the district court itself disregarded the significant and substantial evidence that Federal Express indeed treated Mr. Bio less favorably than the poorly performing Ken Skoda. Your Honors, there's the June 22, 2001 email from Joseph Stevens, who was the manager for the engineering department at the hub facility, to Robin Dam. Robin Dam, a white female, was a supervisor for the night shift. She supervised both Mr. Bio and Mr. Skoda. Ms. Dam was also responsible for the discharge decision concerning both Mr. Bio and Ms. Skoda. In that June 22, 2001 email, Mr. Stevens told Ms. Dam that the honeymoon is over for Mr. Skoda because of repeated and serious performance problems Mr. Skoda had during his tenure as an engineer in the engineering department. He also said that it is time to start a disciplinary documentation trail on Mr. Skoda because of his continuing performance problems.
Mr. Clark, that actually leads to the two points about this case that concern me. And I'll take them kind of in reverse chronological order. Focusing on Federal Express's policies as opposed to the details of Mr. Bio's experience there, it seems that Mr. Skoda was treated, if anything, worse than Mr. Bio, in that he winds up getting lots of disciplinary warnings and being terminated over a rather short period of time. And Mr. Bio is given a much longer period of time in his history with the company. So at a minimum, it seems that, in fact, similar behavior yields similar results. The other point that concerns me is that the district court functionally finds that the two are not similarly situated when it comes to what I want to call qualifications, when it comes to experience. Even though perhaps somebody is finished with his probationary period or training period or whatever you want to call the initial period for Mr. Skoda, the fact was he had not been at the company very long. And I don't know what's racially discriminatory about saying we give a little more leeway to people in the first year or so than we do people who've been there for 4 or 5 years. I mean, because what we have to get down to is whether on the relevant criteria these are comparables, and I think both of those ways of looking at it are at least explain what the district court did.
Yes.
And yeah, go ahead.
Your Honor, if I could respond. With regard to the direct comparability finding, I think the June 22 email memo is significant. And
I know you're saying because the honeymoon's over, ergo they're the same, but in fact they weren't.
Well, but Ms. Dams, okay, and as this court's held in the cases of Radu versus Kimberly Clark and also Patterson versus Avery, the relevant consideration with regard to direct comparability is what the employer considered and what factors the employer took into account. Not what the district court took into account, what the employer considered with regard to making its personnel decision. That June 22, 2001 memo and Ms. Dam's deposition testimony with regard to the same, in which she directly stated that Mr. Skoda had sufficient training to be subject to the same standards as all the other engineers in the department, shows that as of June 22 and 2 months before Mr. Bio was discharged, Ms. Dam was treating and holding Mr. Skoda subject to the same standards as all other engineers in that department. That is something Ms. Dam directly testified to. And with regard to the issue concerning Mr. Skoda being disciplined, Your Honor, you're absolutely right. There was a three strikes you're out policy at Federal Express. after, but it's significant with regard to timing.
But why is it significant when your opponents say that Mr. Bio himself doesn't bring the issue of race discrimination into the picture until 2 months after Mr. Skoda's first warning?
They neglect to point out the fact that within 4 days after his discharge, his September 5, 2001 discharge, Mr. Bio did indeed file an internal complaint pursuant to their guaranteed fair treatment process, in which he complained about unfair treatment he had received with regard to discipline and with regard to discharge.
But does he say it's race-based?
He certainly said that there were he being one of three African-American managers at the time, he did claim that he was treated differently than other managers in the facility, and he talked about other managers, all of them who were Caucasian. He did say that in fair treatment. Now, whether Mr. Beal had to say the magic words, race discrimination, Mr. Beal's a layman, he didn't say that.
The question is notice, in a sense, because your theory is that the company starts to scurry around immediately to cover its tracks and say, well, yes, we did terminate Mr. Bio based on this. We better terminate somebody who's white too. Where does that come out?
Your Honor, because as you know from the record, there were 8 documented instances of poor performance with regard to Mr. Skoda.
And there were lots of documented instances with respect to poor performance on Mr. Bio's part, too.
None between the period of time.
Of
March 16, 2001.
She looks at the whole record. She's deciding what to do when there's this
incident. Your Honor, it's also significant that if there was such poor performance with regard to Mr. Bio, it is also significant that Federal Express admits in its brief that Mr. Bio had never, in his entire tenure, as an engineer in the engineering part, had never been subjected to an annual performance evaluation where he was rated unsatisfactory. Federal Express admits that. Moreover,
is unsatisfactory 2.0 or 1.9?
Anything below 2.0 is unsatisfactory. Okay, and more importantly, Ms. Dam, who testified in deposition that Mr. Bio was considered an expert with regard to volume projections, with regard to Mr. Skoda, who had been poorly performing, had 8 documented incidents of poor performance in between March of 2001 and August of 2001, 8 times. Ms. Dam at no time ever disciplined Mr. Skoda during that time period pursuant to FedEx's express policy requiring a performance reminder notification for a serious and continuing performance deficiency. Now, there are 8 instances Ms. Dam never did it. Within 2 days of Mr. Bio filing his internal complaint about unfair treatment, Ms. Dam issues her first written personal performance reminder to Mr. Skoda within 2 days, and that would have been September 11th. That would have been within 6 days of Mr. Beal's termination. Okay, those are the facts, Your Honor. Now, more importantly, we believe the district court completely ignored Mr. Beal's significant evidence of pretext with regard to Ms. Dam's actions. With regard to there are numerous instances where Ms. Dam told a dishonest explanation with regard to her articulated reasons for discharging Mr. Bio pursuant to the August 29 performance reminder letter and the August 31 warning letter. With regard to Ms. Dam's claim that the volume update assignment was never completed, well, not only was that not a mistake, but Ms. Dam was being completely dishonest about that, because at a 3:30 meeting during the work shift in which Mr. Skoda and Mr. Beal had been working on the volume update assignment for 4 hours, Ms. Dam told Mr. Beal and Mr. Skoda, in the summary judgment proceedings, there's an affidavit from both Mr. Beal and Mr. Skoda in which they both said, Ms. Dam said the assignment was completed, it was okay, make sure it gets put on the land computer system in the engineering department. Ms. Dam then claims that she honestly believed that the volume update assignment was not put on the land computer system in the engineering department. Well, there's the 4:30 meeting. Subsequent to Mr. Beal leaving work after he completed the volume update assignment, Ms. Dam then meets with Abby McNabb, who's an engineering assistant in the engineering department, and Mr. Skoda with regard to the completion of the volume update assignment. And at that point in time, all three of them testify that the assignment was found on the land computer system. We believe there was abundant evidence of pretext for discrimination, and for those reasons, the district court's decision should be reversed, and it should be remanded for trial so Mr. Beal has his day in court.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Right. All.
May it please the court, my name is Jay Gritdahl with the Federal Express Legal Department in Memphis, Tennessee, on behalf of Federal Express. And I'm here this morning, of course, to ask the court to affirm the district court decision granting summary judgment to Federal Express. I believe the district court correctly concluded that there was ample evidence before it that Mr. Beal was not meeting at least or satisfying at least two of the elements of the prima facie case using the indirect method of employment discrimination, in that there was ample evidence that Mr. Beal was not meeting the employer's legitimate job expectations with regard to his job performance, and that with regard to Mr. Skoda, either he is similarly situated in the sense that he was treated exactly the same with the three strikes and you're out rule, or he is not similarly situated based on the disparity in their job tenure and experience with the company.
But what, I mean, I think the strongest point Mr. Clark has is that there may be a dispute about whether job tenure was still a relevant factor. I mean, we can observe as a matter of fact that Mr. Skoda hadn't been there as long as Mr. Beo, but at some point tenure duration becomes unimportant, and after he's finished his training period, why aren't there at least two interpretations of that factor?
Well, Your Honor, I think you correctly pointed out earlier that Mr. Beal was given several years of that informal counseling of the non-written counseling
form. 4.5 years or so, 4 years and some?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yeah.
That same procedure was applied to Mr. Skoda, and I guess employing the argument used by Mr. Beal, he should still have had then a year after the honeymoon was over in which to accumulate those 12 letters. He was in fact terminated before that 12-month period would have expired. Either way you look at it, he still was treated the same by giving three letters within a 12-month period after the grace period was over and was terminated as a result of that formal counseling.
But did anyone ever testify the reason we never took any of the formal steps that FedEx recognizes with respect to Mr. Skoda is because we like to give some slack to people in their first year of employment, or anything to that effect?
No, I don't think that was explicitly brought out in the testimony, Your Honor. It was, I guess, inferentially in the emails referred to, the honeymoon is over, that there was, in fact, a grace period, even if it wasn't a matter of procedure. There was a grace period. Ms. Dam, when she got on board, evaluating her workforce, learning the workforce, then started implementing the formal written procedures with regard to discipline and Mr. Skoda.
And is there specific testimony about, I mean, I think in your brief you mention informal oral counseling that Mr. Skoda may have been receiving. Was that from Ms. Dam's testimony, or what's the evidence of that?
That would have been, I believe, from Mr. Reed's testimony that there was, prior to that, informal counseling with and perhaps Mr. Stevens, who was the managing director of the facility at the time.
Okay.
With regard to the pretext argument, of course, the district court did not reach the pretext argument because of its finding that the prima facie case had not been met. Again, I believe that the starting point with the district court's decision was whether or not in the record before it there was evidence sufficient to grant summary judgment. There was, primarily because the district court chose to discount or dismiss the affidavit submitted by Mr. Beal, which contradicted a substantial amount of his deposition testimony. If that's the starting point of the district court's decision, I believe there's ample evidence in front of the district court, had it chosen to examine pretext, that would have led it to believe that there was certainly a legitimate non-discriminatory reason articulated for the discharge of Mr. Beal, and that we had in place, prior to Mr. Beal's employment, a standard written procedure, the three-strike rule, which was applied to Mr. Beal in this case without complaint by Mr. Beal while he was employed, that any of the actions, any of the three predicate disciplinary writings were, in fact, discriminatory. On that record, I believe the district court would have found that the plaintiff had failed to make its case on pretext as well. And that concludes my remarks, unless the court has additional questions.
Okay.
guess not. Thank you, Mr. Riddell. Mr. Clark, Mr. Clark, you have how much time?
30 seconds.
All right,
I guess so.
Your Honor, with regard to the three strikes you're out policy, if we use the baseball analogy, the problem with the district court's decision is the district court did not look into the disputed fact issues with regard to strike two and strike three with regard to Mr. Beal. Nobody disputes the fact Mr. Skoda qualified for all three strikes because he had been poorly performing the whole time he had been at Federal Express. There are numerous disputed factual issues with regard to strike two and strike three. The district court disregarded those issues, and as a matter of fact, the district court never made a finding that Mr. Beal's affidavit was not relevant. As a matter of fact, it did credit Mr. Beal's affidavit. The one thing the district court didn't do is it didn't look at the affidavit of Ken Skoda, which corroborates everything Mr. Skoda says. You have Robin Dam's testimony, which is corroborated by no one. We believe that the district court was erroneous. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under advisement.